From an undisclosable location, for reasons of security as well as insecurity, this is Coast to Coast AM. John B. Weldon with you tonight. Delighted to be here as always. And I have to just start off with thanks. Have you ever felt a little weirded out on the one hand and absolutely delighted on the other? That is exactly how I feel. So here come the thanks. I want to thank George Norrie, Premier Radio Networks, and you, the best listeners on this planet or any other. For the mothership's chaplain, Ian Punnett, has got some serious, serious hearing issues. And bless him, he has decided to take the second Sunday of every month, so we'll be hearing him. But otherwise, he is he's going to let me sit in his chair on Saturday nights. And all I have to say to you, Ian, is respect and get those ears fixed. Because tinnitus is a very, very serious issue. A guy I don't know well, but I've met him several times and talked with him on about a few things. That would be Ted Nugent. Told me about tinnitus. And the problem with that thing is that the background noise, if you're in a restaurant or something, the background noise is much louder than the voice of the person that's sitting right in front of you that you're talking to. And it's just miserable. I want Ian to get better quickly. Tonight we have a program I think that you will like, and that would be Craig Hewlett. You know Craig. He's been on the program many times. Speechwriter, consultant to the feds, BATFE, that's Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and now Explosives. Homeland Security, Justice Department, everything. He's got some things on his mind. We'll discuss the OWS and this NDAA thing. This is interesting. What was it, 93-7? Senate decided to be it would be okay if we make the homeland here our battlefield in the war on terror. And so that means that if you get labeled a terrorist, you can be held without charges indefinitely by the military at a military facility. I suppose that includes Guantanamo Bay. On the Coast to Coast website, a Meyer UFO photograph, which segues, interestingly, now into our second, third, and fourth hour guest, which will be none other than Michael Horn. And I got to tell you, the email box is blowing up, and Michael is on fire and ready to get it going on. He, of course, is the he's basically the official spokesperson for Billy Meyer. I've heard about Billy Meyer for a long time, the man who is, according to Michael, the sole contactee. And there are a lot of people going, wait a minute, we need sole contactee. We're going to get into all kinds of stuff and take your calls and have a big time with that. Going back to the Coast webpage, we have an unknown drone here going down the highway on a trailer. It looks like half UFO and half stealth. It may not be totally put together. And you should always visit the Coast to Coast AM website because there are all kinds of news stories there, and they go into detail and depth that would take way too much time to discuss, in the first couple of minutes of the program. The news is, well, are you sick of it yet? The feds plan an unmanned border crossing with Mexico. That seems like a good idea, doesn't it? Hollywood is not doing well. Their movie audiences have shrunk below post-September 11th 2001 levels. And let's see, Ron Paul is still getting kind of pushed to the back of the, he gets pushed to the back even though he's actually out front in many of the polls, straw polls and so forth. It's just absolutely amazing. Thank you very much for all of your chemtrail photographs. Mr. George Norrie did a show on chemtrails earlier. You may have already heard some of this, but if you didn't enjoy the traditional chemtrails raining down on you, you are not going to like the new version. This is according to Will Thomas online. The features that stand out the most are the great big dumps of programmable smart molecules, tens of thousands of times smaller than the particles already landing people in emergency rooms with respiratory, heart, and gastrointestinal complaints. You know, this is just too much. It really is, isn't it? And it's amazing how many people don't notice them. I've mentioned this before, but even aviators, people up flying around all the time are like, well, I mean, I hear literally Never noticed those before. It's like you never noticed them before. And then another website here, the End of the American Dreams, the name of this site, gave a list of 30 reasons or 30 signs that the United States is being turned into a giant prison. And I'll tell you, it's just enough to start pulling your hair out and stuffing it into places where you forget where it is. On Alex Jones's website, there is some disturbing information. It's always a little bit disturbing because it's so eye-opening and it is so completely rich in data. We're going to take your calls later, and maybe Mr. Hewlett will feel like taking one or two, but he generally has quite a lot to say, and Michael Horn will be happy to take some too. We really, you know, it's like Wayne Gross said in that old, I think, 1995 movie, we just have to get it on. We have to get it on because there are a lot of people who have observed phenomenon that can be attributed only to, certainly in their opinions, UFOs. And by the way, I was just looking at Buzz Aldrin on YouTube, as well as Gordon Cooper. Buzz was talking about, you know, there's a monolith on this potato-shaped rock that orbits Mars every 7 hours. And when people realize this, they're going to wonder, well, what is that? Who put that there? And then Gordon Cooper, about the steadiest space cowboy you've ever seen, and this guy's a regular Matt Dillon, he's saying, well, we were filming, or there was filming being done, and this, he said, this little saucer, I call it a little saucer, but this little saucer came down, extended its landing gear, landed on the dry lake bed, and the guys that were doing the filming continued to film as they walked over to it. He said, then it just hovered, sucked the gear up, tilted up, and took off at a great rate of speed. Apparently, these, I relate a story, a personal story, or a personal experience, a story of a personal experience. Thank you very much. I'm rambling. Just bear with me. It's too exciting to be here tonight, as it is every night. I'm serious about this. Where apparently I was the only one that saw this, me and another guy saw all these things that looked like stars come over. Some stars were sitting still. They were being passed by others. But apparently this has become more and more and more frequent. And a Coast listener sent me a link that took me right to the NSA.gov website. And you can't call yourself that unless you are, or certainly people in really nice, nicely coordinated black suits with the black tie and the white shirt, you know, looking like Agent Smith, will show up and make you take it down if they don't do it by remote. And there are all these PDFs of all these reports of, you know, 72 of them, 64 of them, 40 of them, 17 speeds, 50,000 miles an hour in some cases, they estimate. And everywhere where it was mentioned, they used UFO. In parenthesis next to it is probably balloon, or probably balloons. So it's getting around, and we're going to get into it. And I'll tell you, again, the email box is blowing up with people who are wanting to hear all that Michael Horn has to offer, as well as saying, let's just put it this way, that there's some controversy over this subject, and we're going to get into it in depth. Coming up right after this little break, Craig Hewlett, he's got some things on his mind. This is Coast to Coast AM. Please stand by. Craig Hewlett, my friend, please come onto the bridge and tell us what's on your mind. You know, it's amazing how much time I can eat up with that guff, that news guffs. So I want to get to you at once. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
What's going on with what do you want to get into? OWS and this NDAA thing. I don't like any of this. What are your take it whichever one you want and wherever you want to start from?
Well, I guess the most obvious place for myself would be the Defense Authorization Act and the Institution of the Use of Military Force Act that was passed September 2001 becoming a permanent fixture in our law. And people that have known my work for 35 years already know that I've warned all the way back to the Jimmy Carter and Reagan era, the Posse Comitatus of 1878 was under threat. Then later, a few years later, I said it's being attacked. CIA passed different executive orders with the president's approval, and on it's gone. And up to this point now, we're now at a point where if this passes both the House and the Senate, and I suspect without all the huffing and puffing, Obama will sign it into law, we now have two legal systems running parallel in the United States, and that's a military justice system, which I can assure you I was under when I was in the military, And we used to have a saying that military justice was a lot like military music.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. The point being is this bill goes further than anything to date, and it puts in force not just if you're a terrorist or associated with terrorists, but the language is so ambiguous that what would never be considered association or support for terrorism, now the language in this bill is so vague, so ambiguous, that I'm not sure even the best lawyers are going to be able to defend someone that's an American citizen who's picked up under these guidelines and can be imprisoned without trial, charge, conviction, indictment, and held indefinitely. So we're now to a point where Obama has proven himself to be just as equally heinous as Bush Jr. ever was. Now, mind you, I go all the way back to Jimmy Carter doing this kind of work, public work, and I have never, ever supported any president since Jimmy Carter. Now, I could go back in history and say I agree that Woodrow Wilson did this wrong or Roosevelt did that wrong, but just the living presidents that I've been around to witness, I've come out against every single one of them. I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican, nor am I what would be called a legitimate libertarian. But the things that are involved where the Constitution stands, there's people in all stripes on both sides of the aisle that still would try to support the Constitution to some degree or another. Now, I understand, I'm not a foolish person, the Constitution is subject to interpretation. It's no different than the Bible. Everybody interprets it differently. But there are certain areas of the Constitution that no matter how hard you try, it can't be misinterpreted.
Yeah, it says what it says.
It says what it says. It's clear as a bell. The Federalist Papers, the reasons for the Constitution being written the way it has been written was debated. It was in newspapers. We have the arguments in hand. We know what the founders meant. So when we get around to things like the Second Amendment, we know exactly what it meant. It's not subject to interpretation. So here's my problem. We've now gotten to a point where the country has been abandoned by the most powerful forces that control this nation's electoral process, the banks and the corporate structure. Again, 35 years I've been complaining, yelling, screaming, and stamping my feet saying corporatism is our future, corporatism is corporazzoni. Its originating form started in Italy. Later it was called many, many different things. We all know the names. I don't have to repeat it. We could call it what it is. It's corporatism. It's here. The banking system has been bailed out to the tune of $29 trillion. And I've been saying this for years. I've been challenged. I've been yelled at. I've been called an exaggerator. But finally, Working Paper 698 shows up from the Levy Economics Institute of Bard College. And there it is, right in the cover by James Felkerson, their study, December 2011, $29 trillion, a detailed look at the Fed's bailout by funding facility and recipient.
Now, that's 29,000 millions.
Billions. $29 trillion.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I missed that completely. So,
Trillion.
Craig, listen, I'd like to say stuff. Well, you and I have talked two or three times now, so you keep us on track, because I'm telling you, I'm on the verge of a major ADD spasm here, and I like to say that I don't mind asking questions, but I sort of try to avoid I have a very highly developed sense of self-preservation, don't get me wrong. I really do. I mean, are we standing around like a bunch of Germans watching the Nazis take over or what? And how is it exactly that corporate profits, it's all over the mainstream media for whatever that's worth. No offense toward our brothers and sisters in the mainstream media, but anyway, you don't want to hear the rest of it. It probably would contain words that are forbidden over the radio, because I just don't think we're getting the straight dope out of those people at all. How is it that the economy is in tatters, but corporate profits are at the highest they've been in I don't know how long? How does that work?
Because there's no relationship, and there hasn't been for some 30 years. It's been an eroding relationship, but I've been saying for decades that, you know, the people that say, you know, interest rates are zero and inflation isn't that bad. And I'm confused by people that can that are intelligent people otherwise. The interest rates are zero. Well, what are you being charged on your credit card? I know mine are going up to 31%. So
well,
I don't understand
cash.
People say interest rates are zero. Which interest rates are you talking about?
Well, yeah, and you're liable to wind up on a they're going to start. You know, I used to make a joke that when I buy something with cash, they ask me for ID. That used to be a joke. It's no longer really that much of a joke.
No. And you know what? $29 trillion isn't a joke.
No.
The fact that you haven't felt the inflation, that it hasn't gone hyper in certain areas, is because they manipulate gold, they manipulate oil, they manipulate gasoline prices, they manipulate everything they can possibly manipulate to keep you from feeling today the effects of what's coming tomorrow. As long as they can keep you quiet today, there's no reason for the corporate structure to give a damn what you think any longer. And we all know by now that the Congress, House, Senate, White House, Republican, and Democrat are bought and paid for. This used to be my main argument 35 years ago, and this is where I'm headed with this on Occupy Wall Street. Just a few years ago, I would say no more than 5 years ago, I was saying exactly these things. I haven't changed my argument in 35 years. It's been the same argument. I go back 35 years to the first interview I ever did in Houston, Texas, a four-hour interview where I said exactly these things. Corporatism, bought and paid for, banking interest, Federal Reserve System. I was labeled an anti-Semite, a conspiracy theorist. I was attacked by the progressive left, people who today are writing for the progressive left, claiming Occupy Wall Street that they are now in favor of. Occupy Wall Street. The very charge that I leveled 5 years ago got me labeled a homophobic, a fascist, a conspiracy theorist, by name. Me, Oliver Stone, anybody that said suggested these things were true was an anti-Semite and a conspiracy theorist crackpot. Alexander Cockburn, Michael Moore, make a list. Those are the same people today saying we support and we are the spokesmen for Occupy Wall Street. Now, I think that is the most fascinating thing to come out of Occupy Wall Street. But it's also the very reason why I'm going to say this. Nobody else has said this. People that don't like lefties may say something similar, but listen very carefully. I would have supported Occupy Wall Street when it first came out as Occupy Wall Street.
Yes.
Because there were 300 young men, mostly Ron Paul followers. They understood the Federal Reserve System, the banking system, fractional reserve banking. They understood the difference between monetary policy, M1, M2, and what those things meant. I would have then said, you know, I like those guys. But I knew immediately when I saw them occupy Wall Street, I knew they would be taken over by the progressive left, who will protest absolutely anything for the sake of protest.
Yes, that's my observation as well.
Facebook.
Yep.
Paint your hair pink, protest, and then listen carefully to AlterNet, Truth Out. Listen to the groups that are the spokespeople for Occupy Wall Street, and here's the gist of it. Here's what they're saying. Mostly young white women from wealthy families are protesting because they don't want to pay their Bloomingdale and Macy's credit card bills. They don't want to pay back their student loans. And they're complaining that they're some kind of an oppressed minority representing the 99%. Their spokesman, Michael Moore. Let's take him for a starter. Michael Moore. He represents the 99%. Well, let's start with the 99%. How many of them are gun owners?
Well, he's pretty deep into seven figures to be with the 99%, isn't he?
That would be close to 60% of the population. So, I'm sorry, Michael Moore, how can you claim to represent the 99% when the first thing you would do under your new paradigm, your new order, would be to strip Americans of their gun rights?
You know, I was at a party last night, and I just sort of broached these subjects with one of the guests. And the response was, It was very nice. I didn't contradict it. I said, well, if these things are going on, there's not much that I can really do about it. There's not anything I can do about UFOs. There's not anything I can do about the government. There's not anything that I can do about this or that. When we come back, Craig, I would like for you to tell us just exactly how completely passive we've become and if there's any way out of that, because at the present time, it looks a little bit grim. We'll continue with Craig Hewlett, a rational man, on Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us, please. Well, I don't know how fine I feel about it. I guess I do, because we're all together. Our engines here on the mothership are stuffed. We're at 100% as far as the plentium, availabilium, and we're going to run it until it turns into depletium. With Craig Hewlett here for the first hour, I want to get right back to him. Have you ever noticed the truth will set you free? However, sometimes knowledge can make you nuts. John B. Wells in with you tonight. Our guest is Craig Hewlett. Please come back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Craig Hewlett, I hate to just keep beating this horse until it turns into glue. I like horses. I don't like beating them in any case, even if they're dead. But what's going on here? We can debate this stuff and talk about this stuff. We see it's going on, explicitly authorizing the federal government to indefinitely imprison without charge or trial American citizens and others picked up inside and outside the U.S., mandate military detention of some civilians who would otherwise be outside of military control, transfer the Department of Defense core prosecutorial, investigative, law enforcement, penal, and custodial authority and responsibility now held by the Department of Justice. It's like, and we're all just kind of standing around because nobody really knows what to do. Is there anything we can do?
Well, again, Occupy Wall Street would have been, could have been, potentially might have been a beginning of something from the grassroots and the American people that they could have latched on to. But it was immediately taken over by these people who call themselves progressives. They call themselves socialists. They call themselves a lot of things. But by and large, most of them are just Democrats. And they think Republicans are responsible for all of this. And again, I'll repeat, that's why I don't support Occupy Wall Street. It's a lie. It's a fraud. They're playing make-believe, and they're playing what they used to use the terminology, fast and loose with the truth. We don't have leaders, bull. You've got leaders. When you hold your public court to judge the country and the corporate structure, who sits there on your little board panel? Christopher Hitchens. Well, I don't think any man in America hates Christians more than Christopher Hitchens.
And I'm
sorry, 99% of the... You don't represent 99% Hitchens if it doesn't include Christians. And of course, some Christians are completely off the wall. Of course there are. But there's a lot of Christians, in case you forgot, that supported the anti-war movement, the civil rights movement, that stand hard and fast with Craig Hewlett, who by and large would call himself a Nietzschean. I don't have a problem with what people believe. But the Occupy Wall Street leadership, Bill Maher, Christopher Hitchens, Michael Moore, Arianna Huffington, they do.
And these guys get a lot of airtime.
And they're the ones that get a lot of airtime, yes. And they get a lot of face time on the internet. They are, without question, the people now leading Occupy Wall Street, and they don't represent anywhere near the 99%. In fact, I will say this, and I will defend this to the death. The people that make up Occupy Wall Street today, and this is where we'll end the discussion on Occupy Wall Street. The people that make up Occupy Wall Street today, the leadership, the spokespeople, Huffington, Hitchens, Maher, Moore, those people, they don't even make up 1% of Americans. They don't represent the Mexican community, the Mexican immigrant community, the illegal alien community. They don't represent the anti-war community from the respect that they've served their country and are against the war. They never have. On the rare occasion that there is one or two individuals that could put a lie to what I've just said, that is what we call in philosophy, this is the example that proves the rule, the exception that proves the rule. by and large, Occupy Wall Street is a 1% movement protesting a different 1%. And that is why it will fail and not achieve anything.
Well, that's why I've said, repeatedly, I admire them for going out and participating in those things that were granted to us in the Constitution, in this republic. This is not a democracy, I will remind everyone. This is a constitutional republic, or was. So let me ask you this, Craig. Do you think somebody out there is smart enough to have actually hijacked this thing, and this was done deliberately because it could have been the movement that you had hoped that it would be, and I would have hoped that it would be, but now it's not?
No, it never didn't. The government didn't have to hijack it. I knew the progressive left, the Bill Maher's, Hitchens, the Huffingtons, and the Michael Moores would hijack it. I knew that certain elements of the Democratic Party would hijack it and come out against Republicans. That happens in America because we're so divided as people. And I'm not dividing this movement. This movement isn't even a true movement, and it certainly isn't a party. If they had a copy of Glass-Steagall in their fist, and they were protesting in front of the House and the Senate and the White House saying, restore Glass-Steagall, I would say, see, now these people are thinking about changing something.
Oh, boy.
But they don't even know what Glass-Steagall is. If I were to say, Graham Leach Bliley Act of 1999, let's repeal it, I would say, all right, now let's get behind this bunch. I'm going to listen to these people because they want to do something that can be done, ought to be done, and needs to be done to put the country right. But that's not what they're doing. They're saying, I don't want to pay my student loans. I want Craig Hewlett taxed to pay my student loans. I want to go to school, but I don't want to pay back my student loans. And I don't want to pay my Macy's and my Bloomingdale's credit card. I want Craig Hewlett to pay. So I'm not going to back this movement because they're lying. Now, could it, would it, should it? Well, come on, Mr. Wells. Do we really want to do woulda, shoulda, coulda? We're both too adult. We've been around too long, and we both have too close of a baritone to make such a silly, silly argument.
How can, Craig, I keep coming back to this. Is it too screwed up, too far down the road, and too big to do anything about? Because it appears to me that it's 1933.
Well, you know what? I probably don't believe anything's going to happen in 2012, whether you're a Mayan, an Aztec, or you're a little green beanie from Mars. I really don't care, but I don't think anything's going to happen in 2012 because I'm not that lucky.
Okay.
I'm going to be here in 2013. And I'm going to be on this station talking to you about the $39 trillion that's now been stolen from the American people.
Well, what happens? What's the end game there? When the debt is that high and there's no way to pay it, what do we do? Hit the reset button and go, okay, we created the money with the stroke of a pen. We'll make it go away. We'll make the debt go away with the stroke of the pen, and we'll just be business as usual. It'll be great.
Well, first of all, whose debt are we talking about?
Exactly.
That's the problem. See, the American people, I've got guys on Wall Street that keep telling me that this is not sustainable. And all I say is, I keep saying this, I've been saying it 35 years. The day every nation is on fiat currency, and it is a global corporate economy on the backs of the working people of billions of people, 6 billion people, working just to put food on the table, the thing is sustainable forever. The $29 trillion has already been transferred to the banks. How are you going to get it back? They're not even American banks any longer. If you think Bank of America has any relationship to America, then you haven't been paying attention, and you still haven't gotten the point about Glass-Steagall.
You know, I love talking to you because you're so passionate about this, and you're... You know, you've been around long enough to have seen a lot of things. And in fact, I'm sure we can agree on this. We're going down the same road. The only thing that's different slightly is the scenery. But it seems to me like the only way out of this one is one currency, a global currency.
They've been talking about that. They've called it Bancor, special drawing rights. They've been talking about merging the U.S. Federal Reserve System into the International Monetary Fund. I produced a report called Technology 2000, Telecommunications, FTS 2000, years ago. And I outlined that as far back as 1934, a Yale University professor was proposing, that we should take each one of the central banks in each continent, and we should have only three: Western continent, Western hemisphere, Asia and Africa, and the East, the Far East. Then ultimately the goal would be to merge those three into one Federal Reserve System, one currency. Of course that's the end game. That's what we're facing today. That's what's going on in the European Union. Who do you think is going to bail out Greece and Italy? The American people are so stupid. We are so stupid now that we will let them tax us again and bail out trillions more dollars. That's why I said Levy Institute, working paper, 698, the most established, well-respected economics institute in the country, has just nailed it. $29 trillion has been stolen from the American people, American taxpayer, without congressional authorization, transferred to the wealthiest banks. They've got the money. They're not reloaning it in America. They're not paying it back. We are screwed, blued, and tattooed. Now, what are you going to do about it?
I'm asking you. What can be done about it?
I'm not going to shave my head or spray my head pink and paint my butt and go running around naked in the streets with Occupy Wall Street.
No, that wouldn't be a good look for you. No, I'm not doing it either.
No, the American people have got to do something, but I'm not the one to tell them what to do. To me, Mr. Wells, it seems obvious. At this point in our history, if you haven't read Stephen Hafner's book about the rise of Hitler, finally, Ray McGovern, former CIA, finally took my lead of almost 10 years ago when I first brought this book up. And he bothered to read the book, and now he's quoting from it, as maybe the American people ought to read Stephen Hafner's book about the rise of Hitler. Because it's a little biography that was published after he was dead about growing up and watching as an economist, as a professor of economics, and understanding finance and the law. He watched Germany quietly oppose Hitler in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, those same Germans that opposed Hitler, they were Catholics, they were communists, they were left, they were right, they were Democrats, they were Catholic Party. All of a sudden, at some point, were standing in the street with a flag, little Nazi flag, waving it, completely submissive, saying, whatever you want, sir, we're in.
You know, the thing that gets me about this is that, you know, I didn't really appreciate our nation being called the great Satan and all that stuff. But the more atrocious happenings I see being reported as they are from all around the world of all kinds of dirty deeds perpetrated by the, and certainly they look like dirty deeds. If they're not, they'll certainly do till the dirty deeds get here. You know, Germany pulled a lot of stuff. I mean, everybody, like you just said, you know, they decided, well, you know, maybe we ought to just go out there and get on this bandwagon because this fella, Adolf Schicklgruber or something, he looks like he's a winner. Maybe he can put this one over the top. Hey, he's a little rough, you know, that night of the long knives where he whacked out, 80 of his political opponents all in one night. Be that as it may, it looks like he might be good for the country, something like that. I'm beginning to wonder if maybe we have not positioned ourselves to take the same beating that Germany had to take.
Well, you know what? I don't see a lot of protest, including Occupy Wall Street. I don't see a lot of protest about the war in Afghanistan, about us and American participation in the murder of bin Laden, who I did a show for 2 hours all over this nation, not just coast to coast with George, but all over the nation and other stations, where I produced a 550-page PDF file that demonstrates from a very legal standpoint the most current evidence that points to Saudi Arabia having perpetrated 9/11, not bin Laden. There's nothing but stories in the new issues of Foreign Affairs saying that bin Laden actually really didn't have all that much power and really, actually, we've exaggerated the threat from the very beginning.
Well, the guy was a CIA asset, wasn't he?
We know these are lies. We know that we've been lied to, just like
repeatedly
lied to the German people. They knew they were being lied to.
And they lied to Chamberlain too.
We say nothing.
Let me ask you this: how far out on the clothesline are we to have conversations like this with a million of our closest friends?
Well, you know, I think at some point. Okay, let me put it differently. I did a show for 2 hours, and I didn't know what to say any longer to this particular audience, so I asked a fundamental question: what's more important than truth? And I'll let the audience call in and answer the question. And, of course, most people immediately say, well, nothing's more important than truth. Well, that's a clever response, but you're not answering my question. And we went back and forth. Nobody did get to the point where I wanted them to get about the truth. So I'm not going to challenge your audience at this point to answer what's more important than truth. I'm going to give you the answer because we don't have 2 hours to take callers and see what people's opinions are.
I know it.
This is a philosophical notion on my part, and this is the place we're at in this country. I started out 35 years ago, and I told Kathy at the time, I'm going to do this. I'm going to shut down my company. I'm going to liquidate my assets, and I'm going to devote the rest of my life doing this kind of work in the public sphere where you don't really get paid. So I've got to figure out a way to earn a living simultaneously while I do this. The one thing I told her 35 years ago is, listen to me on this. When I start doing this, I will never, ever stop.
I knew there was some about you I liked first time we talked. Tell you what,
35 years ago, I told Kathy what I'm going to tell your audience tonight. What's more important than truth? Stamina.
Well
so
said.
If you want to get in this fight about this nation and take this country back, you've got to be willing to do a little bit more than occupy a park until it snows.
Or until you overdose on ecstasy.
Exactly.
Let me ask you, you want to take a call? We have a couple of ladies holding on the wild card line. There's Mildred in Utah. Let's see what she thinks is more important than truth. Mildred, are you with us?
I am.
Welcome.
And I don't think there's anything more important than truth.
Stamina.
Stamina yeah. is true. I kind of ran out of stamina.
That's
Good
the
evening,
problem.
Guys. I live here in Utah, and I was really afraid to call because I was put in jail without any charges. Without any bail amount, I was denied access to phone, I was denied shower, I was unable to eat, and I was on a U.S. Marshal hold, and I was told that I was never getting out.
What was the charge?
There wasn't a charge. I asked repeatedly, what's my charge? You don't have one. What's my bail? You don't have one. There was no answer. I was just in jail.
Okay, they finally let you out, though.
Well, finally, when I got back in front of the judge and he had proved to me that he had all the power, I was able to get out. But
okay,
before
well, that, right
there was nothing.
That's what's key to what's going on right there. You got to see a judge. That's called habeas corpus. Habeas corpus guarantees an American the right. All they have to do is demand habeas corpus. That means take me in front of a judge now. We still have that right. But under the Defense Authorization Act that just passed the Senate, will pass the House, and Obama signs, we will be stripped of that most fundamental right, habeas corpus. That's the point here.
Habeas corpus, that means.
To the American people, if you don't have the stamina to stand up for the truth, then the truth really isn't very important to you. After all,
this is sad. You know, this almost makes me sick, like physically sick, just thinking about this. You can't believe what I'm reading here. Craig, it goes too fast. We got to get together for 3 hours here pretty soon, okay?
Anytime.
It's great talking to you. Craig Hewlett, a rational man. He knows what he's talking about. He devotes his life to annoying the establishment, which gets ever bigger, ever stronger. I wonder if they're laughing. I'm not. Are you? I'm John B. Wells. Pleasure to be in with you tonight. Coming up right after this break, Michael Horn, all about UFOs, and Billy Meyer on Coast to Coast AM.